from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's been drinking a lot of fizzy lifting drink to try to lift his spirits. Goodbye, Gene. But this one's for you. So many of them I owe to you, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now, if the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone, because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
Hey, you've only tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you. The podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you awake, whether it's thinking, feeling, you know, physically, emotionally, you're calculating. No calculators in bed. No devices that can. No calculating. I don't just mean numbers. I'm talking myself there. I'm glaring at myself. I don't just mean numbers calculating. But it could be plenty of other stuff. It could be something physical. It could be some external noise. And, you know, whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. And the way I'm going to use it is I'm going to use these creaky, dulcet tones, and I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. And I'm going to attempt to distract you and escort you across the threshold and into the arms of Morpheus, as they like to say. Over at Bullfinch's headquarters, Bullfinch HQ, which is actually a defunct tree. That's what I call my safe place. I pretend it's a treehouse. It's not quite a blanket fort. It's a towel on my kitchen table, which is only big enough for two people to eat at. And I call that Bullfinch HQ, we don't have a full, just Bullfinch HQ. But believe me, it's a tree. One day we'll be the first mythology. Okay, and I can hear the lawyers, starting. Don't take any notes, please, lawyers, or anybody. It's bedtime. Yeah, you're right, but it should be called Bullfinch Base if it is a treehouse. You're right. Luckily, I paused there and breathed, and then the little kid in me poked me with a magic wand or something. Can it be called Bullfinch Base? And I said, yeah. And then another kid said, what about bullfrog base? And they said, get out. I said, don't, shouldn't you be home for dinner? You're not part of my brain, are you? I said, no. And I said, go home for dinner. It can't be bullfrog base unless it is. And I said, but get back to me, you know, I'll see you later. Well, anyway, what was I saying? I'm going to try to take your mind off stuff, across you, across, distract you. I guess I'll be walking with you, talking, rambling, lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, all while you cross over, and you'll be unaware. That's the whole thing with cross. They say, like I said, no one says you cross. Well, what are you doing tonight? Crossing over into the arms of Morpheus, of course, my friend. And they say, oh, Larry, with your pointless, what are you talking about? Going to bed. That's what I call it at Casa Larry. Are you still working on the relaunch of Bullfinch rebranding? We're creating a brand. Larry, do you know what a brand is? No, because I'm only a figment of Scoots' imagination, actually. Believe it or not, I'm not even real. And I say, no wonder you're so much better of a coworker than Scoots. You're so much more. I say, great, great. Thanks for ganging up on me, brain. Anyway, let me get back to my audience, which is real. Audience, hey, how you doing? So if you're new here, the podcast is Take Your Mind Off Stuff. A little bit silly. I'm definitely not, you know, I'm not your run-of-the-mill. I haven't said this in a while. I'm not a guru. Let's just put that straight out there. Even though, you know, I dabble in bullfinch and bullfrogs. You know, you could say I put the bullfrog in the bullfinch because I did one time. Or I'm going to. I'd like to carve out. Well, I wouldn't want to do that, but you say, why don't we do that? What if somebody, I put the bullfrog in the bullfinch. I wish I had more, you know, that Bullwinkle doesn't fit. No. That's my part of the brain that likes vague pop culture references. Yeah, I wouldn't bring your bulldog along. Let's just stick with the two. Let's just stick with the two. We're going to put the bullfrog back in the bullfinch. And they say, are you sure it's not Bill Finch? And I say, Bill Finch. I said, that is that was one of the most boring Dickensian characters. I think he was cashier. Old Bill Finch. He was in whatever that one was, the long one. Maybe he was he the did he sell a pencil like whatever they used to write? I think inkwells. He was in the inkwell refill business. But anyway, if you're new here, what he says, I'm gonna take your mind off stuff. The whole idea of the podcast and the whole idea of getting into the arms of Morpheus, you're falling asleep, is that you got to get your mind off whatever's keeping you awake, right? And it's really hard to do that. I've been there. And I'm just getting through a bout of rough week of sleep myself. And, you know, it's going to be baffling, as I've said in the past. But, you know, you got to be distracted. You can't focus. You know, it does a sleep and saying, well, I bring my A game to sleep. I focus. And say, well, good luck with that, okay? And you say, you're going to focus yourself. And, of course, that's the one person that could do that, the super successful. You say, well, yeah, I focus myself. Well, how do you fall asleep? I just focus on it and I fall asleep. Sleep through the night every time. And I say, well, that's why I loathe you. Oh, well, I can afford to have you loathe me. I'm also a billionaire. And on top of that, you're incredibly nice, Muskie. I can't loathe you because I, you know, secretly wish I was your best friend. So, oh, darn it all. Fooled again. You're one pesky genius. Anyway, where was I? Sometimes I get off topic, but because that's the idea of the podcast. The whole thing is, clearly, you don't need to listen to me. I will be relaying information. I will be relaying it wholeheartedly from my end. And I'll be doing it in a way that's, you know, mildly amusing, friendly. And you can just listen and you say it's like inane chatter. But it's a little bit deeper than that. You know, clearly, I'm driving a car. I'm not, you know, it's not a self, it's not, you know, I don't, there's no analogy there. I thought there was. But you know, it's just an alternative. You say, okay, well, I could think about all that calculating stuff or all that, you know, those of you that may have mythology reports, you say, well, you know, this was my, you know, you're better off getting rested, work on it as soon as you wake up. And the best way to do that is, you know, not to think about it. And that's a tough thing. You can't just stop thinking about stuff. So here's what I propose tonight in this episode. This is what we do, Metastas News. So up here, after I get through this intro, I'll talk about, do a housekeeping segment. Then I'll do a little Spanish language storytelling, because what happens is every week I watch Metastas News, which is a Colombian nearly shot-for-shot remake of Breaking Bad, the American TV show. I don't speak Spanish, so I'll watch that in Spanish, no subtitles. Then I'll take a ton of notes. Then I'll watch the corresponding episode of Breaking Bad, take a ton of notes. Then I'll watch Metastas News again with the Spanish subtitles on, and I'll write down some Spanish words like, oh, conmigo. Which some words just aren't sticky. My brain is not a, my brain's goopy. I was going to talk about how I'm not a guru. I don't know if I have time for that, but here's the simple thing. When it comes to being a guru, my brain's full of goo. You know, that's the only goo. And I do like to say roo, roo, roo. But those are the only things. So I could say I have goo and a roo, but I'm not a guru. I'm not a sleep guru. I'm not any, in a true Zen sense or in the true, guru salesperson sense. And I'm neither and neither. I mean, I'd say I'm definitely a goo. I'm full, no doubt, full of goo. But believe me, my brain is gooped and gooed. Double goo. And they say, no, he doesn't have gray matter. He has gray goop, gray goo. Gray goop held together in a goo. You say, really, which one is the floating stuff? I don't even know what that's called. And they say, well, isn't he in the multiple podcast intro? I thought he was about to just square in a point there. And I say, you're right. What I was going to say is that you can't think about two things. So you can listen to me, but then you can tune me out whenever you like. Or you can set a sleep timer, or you can just slowly drift away. And soon my rumbles will become mumbles. My stumbles will become umbles and blumbles. And you see, that's man. There goes a man full of goop. He's got a head full of goo, that kid. The world's going to be his. It's good luck, kid. Good luck with that. And now look at me, I'm helping you fall asleep. What could be greater? So that's what I'm here for. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to fall asleep. I'll be here. Oh, that's what I was saying. So we're going to do, I was trying to explain how the episode works. Whew, oh boy. So I'm going to do, the third time I watch it, I write down a ton of Spanish words. And I look up those words. Now, my handwriting's awful. I've tried typing the words. That's just as bad. But I look up all the words. Usually about 60-70% of them are actual Spanish words, And they'll translate. And then I'll make a story based on that. And it'll be in English and kind of Spanish. It'll be in broken English and broken Spanish. Improperly pronunciated. But it'll be fun. It's cool to have story points where I don't know where the story's going. And then, you say, well, it's kind of like a dream. Exactly. It makes about as much sense as a child's dream. Sleep with me. The podcast that puts you to sleep. So that's what we'll do first. Then we'll talk about the episode of Metastasis and go over my notes. Then we'll talk about Breaking Bad. And it'll be totally sanitized, for sleepers. The thing is, like I said, you can fall asleep, but you don't need to. I'll be here for an hour or so, giving it my all, so I'll keep you company in the deep, dark night. I'll be your boyfriend, like I'm sitting at the foot of your bed, not staring. Just like when personal interactions that I'm not, I'll just stare at the side of the bed, and keep you company. And if you're new here, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. It's weird. It's just not, it's different. No doubt about that. No need to, put a shine on it. And, but if the people it works for, it takes your mind off stuff. Might take a couple tries. If you're skeptical, that's totally the most, why wouldn't you be? Just be like, if I actually was a guru with a brain full of goo and goop, you'd say, you want me to give you $2,000 for a how to fall asleep course. You got a brain full of goop. And I'd say, exactly, sir. That's why I needed to. It's 1999, actually, by the way. Today only. You know, think about it. How many years, how much is 5 years of good, so the rest of your life you'll sleep good? $1,995 today only. You say, yeah, but you're self-proclaimed goop brain. So that's why I just do this podcast for free, you know, and then we figure out the money side of it, because it's just bad. Like, if you're skeptical, you say, okay, I can listen for free. And you say, right. And you say, okay, yeah, I'll give it a try then. Thank you. That makes sense. I would be skeptical too. Believe me, I got to live with myself. I'm totally skeptical. But soon you'll learn. I'm here doing my best. I can't make everybody fall asleep. I can't put everybody to sleep, but I'm going to try. And I appreciate your time. Totally respected. And I'm glad you're here. I really hope I really yearn to help you fall asleep. So thanks. Housekeeping. I want to thank Carl W., who edited this episode. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Podcast, who does our theme music. I want to thank Jonathan Mann, who does our lullabies. You can commission a song from him at jonathanmann.net. Listeners also have a Facebook group at sleepandbepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank Laura and Lida, Julie and Jennifer, and Summer and Sarah, who nod right over there. In the free time, thank you so much, and thank you all, and let's get out this show.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, this is a story from episode 51. Galones, you know, I've been thinking a lot about gallons. Jugs, gallons of milk. You know, sometimes I guess I stopped debating, you know, like half gallon versus gallon. I started saying, no, it's just I'm a half gallon person. But then they still make it confusing because they say, well, are you a carton person or a jug person? And I say, seriously, tell me. And I say, well, beben hacer los cosas. When I drink, I do things. And when I drink milk, I tend to say, oh, I'm so full, I just drank some milk. Asperi, I waited here for inspiration to strike. Should I? But I said, I think in a gallon, I'm a jug, in a half gallon, I'm a carton. Depending, entonces se cae, but then here I noticed the old school glass ones. And I don't know if I ever told you about Burn Dairy, BYRNE, Burn Dairy. That's the dairy of my youth. Well, the dairy, let me off track already. By the way, Bebendo Bienrato, you're looking good while I'm talking. And I know you're going to wonder, obsessionado, am I obsessed with Burn Dairy? Well, with their chocolate milk. I said, no, that's a rainbow milk bar. Is that run by Burn Dairy? I don't know the answer to that question. Dentro de poco, shortly after this episode's released, I'm sure I will. You know, cosa tarnos, just go to sleep while I talk about this milk. If you don't mind me, you know, as long as you're not a cow, then you might say, because they regal our own, you know, they gave up their milk to fill our gallons, to our galones. And, you know, que no lo hizo, that did not stop the cows. Yo no me odia, you know, the cows that no longer hate me, I hope. Ahorita, right now I don't live near a dairy or a Burn Dairy. That was a retail. They had ice cream there. I actually don't know what else they sold in Burn Dairy. I mean, I think it had, you know, other dairy goods, but I just went there for hard ice cream. What do you call that? Is that what you call it? Hard serve? It's in Syracuse, you call it soft serve. That's your frozen yogurt type ice cream. But I can't imagine they call it hard serve. Dentro de poco, you know, hopefully shortly I'll have the answer to that one too. Calabozo, you know, somewhere in the basement, they might say, well, you belong in the ice cream basement, son. You don't know nothing. And I'd say, you have a secret ice cream lab down here? Is this where the hard serve was located? Amplio EK Buena Vista. It's spacious. In a great view, are these ice cream churners down here? And the person said, hace falta, they're needless. And I said, mirame eso, watch me, I'm going to stick my hand in this ice cream batch here. And they said, no. Relo Nuevo, it's a new watch here. And I said, I'm confused. And they said, autoestima. And I said, are you talking about self-esteem or ice cream? And I said, whoa, boy, we're on to something. Self-esteem ice cream. Banga, come on, let's go. Lavadero, I think there's a laundry near here. Maybe when I'm thinking about Burn Dairy, I picture a laundry too. Don't worry, Maneja Sola. I can manage this idea all alone. I don't need your help, I guess, if you're not going to offer it to figure out the self-esteem ice cream. Un eminence importantissimo, your eminence, your importance, or, you know. Are you an ice cream scientist? Oh, of darkness. What does that mean? You're an ice cream scientist of darkness. Like, wouldn't that be self-esteem? Wouldn't that person that believes that sell self-esteem-based ice cream? Or ice cream for your self-esteem? What kind of villain are you? En el medio usted debe saber. Even in middle school, Escuela, you know, you should know that. Riesgos? No, there's no risks. If you're a villain, you should be selling... You're saying that you think ice cream causes esteem problems. Well, that's a good. That's a. Yo sinceramente quiero agua de serle, pues pues star. You know, I sincerely want to thank you for being so honest with me. For a villain, adoramos reticio. I almost would worship you, and I don't know what reticio means. I'm sorry. But propios ojo, let the consumer be heard. Let's go upstairs to the ice cream store and let me just start, shouting and interrupt. No, you want me not near your customers. La paz algo, because something happens. Yeah, when I get near customers, they get dissatisfied. It's like the opposite of charm, I believe, is what we would call it. I'm an un mal papa. I'm a bad potato, for sure. But pareja a la haber paternidad, I'm the partner to the fatherhood of these evil ice cream ideas. I got a punto de vista. I've got a point of view. And provi baracho, I could provide a drunks for you for, recovered. But claro quiere affronto su. Clearly, we got to face these. If we're going to use ice cream for evil, we got to get on it. Hemos relajese, we can't relax, actually. I can't believe I just said that. Pareja, we'll be a couple of ice cream entrepreneurs. I don't know if I do want to use ice cream for, should I be your antagonist? Puedo decir, I can say I'm going to use ice cream for self. Maybe I could use ice cream for self-esteem. Kind of like a library reading game, where you say, hey, there's your ice cream. Good reading. It's self-esteem-based ice cream. Coligo, I could go to schools. Auxilio, help. Get a little hysterica. It gets the kids hysterically laughing. And maybe I could do a grammar school. Where do you think my comedy works best? Ice cream education, ice cream and self-esteem. Yeah, maybe I could do that, Sesame Workshop style. I could be, it could be like a little bit of a mime. I go in, I pretend it was my first day at the ice cream factory. I open up some ice cream containers. I say sospechar algo. I smell a rat. And then I go down in the bodega, the cellar. And I see, a metaphorical version of you, an ice cream villain. And I say, Rasta Tridor. I'm a tracker of ice cream and self-esteem. But, maybe you should be a self-esteem-based villain. Userón ese aparato. They put this device, you are the device. Suéltame burlar de nosotros. And then you go and make fun of us, damage our self-esteem. Podamos no se tan bruta. We're not going to, we can, but we don't need to be as crude as you. And first thing you should do is lo siento mujeres. Say sorry to all the women you've offended with your self-esteem-based damaging. Hacerlo por eso tuvimos. Doing so had, yo no fue, yo lo salve. I was not, I don't think this is the salve we're looking for self-esteem. This pitch I'm giving you now. Marcados la oiga. I hear it marked for failure. Sicaro se el gran chef. It's taken out by the grand chef. You got any cara tanques cafeterio? Any coffee tank cars? No. What about agarra cara tanques, grab tank cars? You don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm talking about how we're going to turn the show around and use ice cream in self-esteem, to make me money touring grammar schools and high schools at the, they'll call assemblies. Everybody will come and see me perform. Claro si como no. Isn't it clear whether or not I'm going to be able to do that? Melancolico lo tratan, a treat of melancholy. That's how I think I'll start the show. It'll confuse the kids. And then maybe I'll add in, Dejo solos a mi amor, let alone my love of ice cream. And then I'll take a taste of one, maybe not an ice cream, you're right, maybe one of those ones that's better for you. But I'll say, con calma, retrocesco with calm, you know, retroactive stuff. And I say, well, this is more healthy. Systemic in our poco. My system just gained only a little bit of sugar, you know, sugar problems. Then you could leave the lab and I'd say, para donde va? Where are you going? And you could say back to me, puede ser fincas. It can be farms. I'm going to the farms. And I say, the ice cream farms? I'd say, you know, listen, partner, this is crazy, but hagamos le suel tela. Let's release all the cows. Bayo Lento, I see you're slow to react. Looks like you want a maniguera. Hose me down. But just so you know, if you watch my hips, bascula a la base. They swivel to the base. I'm just kicking a little bass on for us to dance. This could be part of the show, like me and you dancing with our hips. Kids laugh at that. And then I'll say, abra la puerta. Let's open the door to self-esteem. Come on in, self-esteem. Good to see you. See, watch this. And then, dos veces propia casa. Twice you've owned my home. You know, sometimes estar solas no es nu negociación. Being alone, that's not a good way to negotiate. With your self-esteem, you need a friend. Say that with me. Digas eso, kids. You need a friend. Why? Well, Rehan, I feel like you're keeping me here, kids, for an answer, right? You're not going to leave this assembly without a clear answer of how ice cream and self-esteem is. This is acting, actually, partner. It seems like I'm honestly confused at how I'm going to finish it. Like, hey, kids, I know you're not going to let me go without an answer, huh? Insistes proponer. Yeah. Salvo, except I have a crazy idea. Dime que hago orgullo. Tell me I do with pride. Kids, you're supposed to say I have a great idea. I'm going to accept el trato, accept the treatment that's in this coloring book. The coloring book of self-esteem. And if everyone quietly colors in the a four-step program I sold to your principal on building yourself proper self-esteem. Anote ubique, you know, I'll be able to locate the heladas or whatever, the ice cream. Now, be forewarned, when I was freeing the cows, pasto hacia el fondo, there's going to be some grass at the bottom of your ice cream. But you got to finish your coloring. But you're done with your coloring book? Okay, well, let me atraveso. I'm going through the cabinet here. Oh, duele todo. Everything hurts. Okay, this is where we act out to see if you've learned the lessons. Everything hurts in my esteem. Vacciato. It feels like it's emptying out. Otro lado. Check my other side. See if I have a drainage port. Oh, thank you, young man. That's not what self-esteem is. It doesn't drain out of you. Oh, no hay forma. There is no way to lose it. It's always there. I just have to find it. Heredo, it could be injured. Yeah, it feels like since the day I was born, it felt that way. You're right. I should collaborate with your classmates. Well, do something nice, and then I'll feel good about it. Keep practicing. Oh, wow. That's good. Bolqueta halar, pull a dump truck. Oh, full of ice cream. That's what I have backing up. Look, it's dumping ice cream because you kids are so good. Hagale, hagale, paras, tras. Ask your principal to have me back, though. Bahase, get off the truck, kids. Just pass the ice cream out. Self-esteem problems are fixed. And ganamos, bravo, I have won. Or we have won, see? So we won the, we saved the school's ice cream, self-esteem with ice cream, kind of. We also, I charged the principal $4,000. All right, thanks, and see you later. All right, so we're talking episode 51 here. It starts with a dirt bike in the mountains. Like so many great poets have done. Liv had the mountains, so were dirt bike. You know, how come there's not any dirt bike poets? I think, and I'm not kidding, there probably is some great dirt bike poets. I would love to start a dirt bike poetry, you know, that's the new, what do they call that? It's new school poetry, the dirt bike poets. But I can't get, you know, I can't obviously clearly feel suspect because I can't be near a dirt bike. You know, I barely beach, you know, I have two bikes in my garage that have, you know, never mind. We can't get into my personal problems, but yeah, I can't handle a dirt bike. But there's lots of angles of this kid in a jean jacket on a dirt bike. He's getting ready for a science fair. Also, he had nice layering on. He didn't just have the jean jacket. He had layers to stay, you know, stay comfortable in all temperatures, which when you're in the mountains and the foothills is important. And then the episode opens. It's 9,010 gallons. And Jose's at their new HQ, the Vamos Pest, or whatever the deconstruction site is. And he comes out with good news for Walt. Now, this was the biggest change I'm aware of so far between the Metastasis and Breaking Bad, because this all takes place at the end of the old Breaking. I may have talked about this already. But this starts as the beginning of this episode. It was the end of the last episode of Breaking Bad. And I don't quite know. There's beginning to be more and more differences, especially in this episode. Some of them might be budget, and then I'm like, are some of these cultural differences just of what's acceptable and stuff? But anyway, this is they're at the new HQ. Jose comes out with good news for Walt, and he's like, "Who is what king? Who is a king?" I don't know what my writing says. Who is king? It looks like, but it's definitely not that. It's K-I-U-Y or K-I-W with a giant thing. I write in serif, even though I don't. I do have a serif, you know, that would be the fun. See, his handwriting is a scribble serif, yeah. I'd like to sans the serif right off of my scribbles. Says Sally as she sold sans serif script by the seashore. Just the buy ruined it. But, he says, oh, this is from last episode. Oh, no, that's what I put. Oh, this is from last episode when he gives Walt his gift, a nice watch. And Walt goes home, Cielo smoking, nonplussed, ignoring him. As Walt tries to make nice, and Walt is, Walt walks off, then comes back to say, hey, Cielo, check out this watch. The person that gave it to me never liked me. He even points at his head. Magic mind, I think that means. And Cielo studies him, but she says nothing. And then I notice, well, this Walt has good bedtime habits. 7:38 p.m. he's getting in bed. Un us espirio cre. Oh, U.S. episode ended here. I thought that was Spanish. Us is U.S. episode ended here. Oh boy. And we see Henry. He's in a new glass office. There's a picture of Henry and Maria. Walt comes in for a visit. Henry's there. He's looking sharp in his suit. Gomez is in the back. He's back in his fleece vest. And it's weird because Craig Mazin was just talking about this right after I watched this. I was thinking, geez, I can't wear a vest. I'm not a vest. Like, I've tried different vests, and I'm not. And then Craig was like, I can't wear a vest either. Not to me. I was listening to the podcast. I don't know Craig, but, you know, I said, man, I've always, but then I'm always like, well, I don't really have a core temperature problem. I said, my arms might get cold. I don't know if I'd prefer sleeve only. But yeah, how come they don't have something with sleeves? Like, it's like, but you need like an exoskeleton. Wouldn't make sense. That's why, Scoots. Oh, no one would buy it, Scoots. Okay, those are good reasons why they don't have that. But yeah, and I was thinking, I said, well, I still have one vest, or I have a jacket with the zip-offs, and it's for carrying, like, equipment, like recording stuff or whatever. So maybe I don't think I'll wear that, though, because I'm just not a vest person. I get too... A vest is like too, say, no, I get my shirt off. I try to take my shirt off. Maybe I could go like that, shirtless with a vest, you know, right back to where, and then I'll get some orange popsicle stains on me, and I'll be right back in my childhood. So I guess I could do that, vest, no shirt, wouldn't be zipped up, wouldn't be anything, you know, say, oh boy. That guy used to have a sleep podcast. Yeah, that one in the puffy vest with no shirt. What are those stains on him? Hey, you know those jugs of drink? He became obsessed with those from his podcast, the ones that taste like popsicles. So probably those. It's probably a stain because he has a drinking problem. They're two, you know, both kinds. Anyway, back to the episode here. Welcomes for a visit Henry Sharp in a suit. Gomez has the fleece vest on. Henry checks out Walt's super expensive watch. He's like, oh, new car, new watch. He goes, this is an esteem issue, Walt. I think that's what he said. And he says, sit down. And he says, how's Cielo doing? And Walt starts with the BS. And they talk about food or a fancy dinner. I couldn't figure that out. And then Walt says, Henry, I think you should keep the kids for a while. And Henry's like, fine, bro. We're brother. We're hermanos, you know, so don't worry. And then Walt gets very emotional with a question for Henry. And he says it, and then he says, will it be okay? And then Henry says, Walter, what else is it? What else is there? You know, whatever that is, que pasa or something. Is there something else? Like KD say, maybe he says, you can tell me, digame, you know. And Walt breaks down to tell him, but I question mark, I couldn't figure it out what. And then Henry's still trying to find a solution, and then he's trying to, you know, pick Walt back up. He's like, you've been really through it, man. And then he's like, at first I thought he was going to call someone for Walt, but then Walt's too broken up, so Henry says, he leaves the office, and then there's a close-up of Walt puts on his Heisenberg face. And then he bugs Henry's computer and his picture. And then Henry comes back with coffee. And then we see Lydia's in a meeting with Walt and Jose and Mario. Mario's like, look at me, tell me. And he says, I want you to call Henry and read this script, Henry Navarro. And then they put about what question mark. And then something excuse about a connection. And then we hear Henry and Gomez talking after the call. And Lydia doesn't like it. She shouts. And then those three try to come up with a plan. But Lydia's like totally messing them up. And then she's still resistant to giving something up, like a plan or something. And then Walt comes up, he talks to her alone, and they come up with, like, getting those stuff right at the methylene right out of a tanker. But there's lots of challenges, but then they're like, let's do it. Then we have Henry with Walt's babies, like, bouncing the babies, trying to teach the baby how to say anti-narcoticos. So he just keeps repeating anti-narcoticos to the baby. I also notice they have a big kitchen table or dining room table. They have a bench, like kind of piano bench, instead of chairs at the head of their table, but chairs on the body of their table, which I thought was interesting. We had six kids and two parents at my house. So we had benches that we sat on at a kitchen table. Head of the table, piano stool bench at the head of the table. They're feeding the baby. They're worried about Junior. They're telling him, don't worry, pizza and movies tonight. And Junior had a sweet shirt on. It said, "I'm a rebel, and that's my mission." That was what said on his t-shirt. "I'm a rebel, and that's my mission." Then we have Walt, Mario, and Junior, or Jose, still working on a plan, arguing. Jose stuck playing peacemaker and reason, voice of reason, and then they're out on a trail with like a measuring wheel. It was very bit where I live, the scrub there, in the, it was very Bay Area looking, and they measure up a hill. And then they find a spot in the middle of the hill, and they're moving rocks, and they're filling barrels, and what does that say? Coterones, something, containers, maybe? And they're using one of the young guys from the company to help, and they're talking about water, clear like water. Then Jose's trying to be clear. To the young man, and Walt's demanding Jose, respect for Jose, saying, "Hey, say si, senor, when you talk to Jose." And next scene, we have Walt and, like, Cielo's trying to get Junior to open his door, and then Walt's there, and he's trying to get Junior to open his door, and Junior and Walt go back and forth, and Junior begs to be able to stay, let me stay at this house, Pa. But Walt won't back down. He's like kind of furious. And Walt and Cielo talk about esposa, no esposa, wife or no wife, me, triple question mark. They talk for a while, and then Cielo notices his dirty boots, and that gives her an idea, double question mark. Then we see Lydia. She's at home on a laptop. She calls someone with some information. Then it's the daytime. Walt's on a giant rock guarding a dump truck, or no, guiding a junk dump truck and a motocross bike, a BMX, you know, a dirt bike. And Walt's all listo, all listo. And then the trucks come and they're blocked. The methylamine trucks come, they're blocked in. And Jose and the kid are like spinning into action, and the Bill Burr character creates a distraction. Then it starts to flow the methylamine, and then more people come to help. Walt wants to overstay his welcome. Mario wants to go, of course. Then more help comes, like then the trucks. It was kind of comical a little bit because the help comes, and then the trucks don't like the attitude of the people that came to help. Yeah, they just don't like the idea of the people that are there to help. So they're like, hit the road. They send them away, the professional helpers. And then they come up with a new plan to help move the truck and help the BMX bike. And Walt's still stretching it out. And then finally, like, he stretched it out so long the trucks start moving. Jose's got to jump off the truck. And then they gather their, you know, they have the methylamine, they have everything they want. And he's wondering, geez, what does this all mean? And that's the end of the episode. All right, so we're talking season 5, episode 5, Sleeping Freight. Starts in the desert with mountains in the background. There's some grass, there's some scrub. And there's a kid on a dirt bike. It's a DOT. He's wearing a DOT helmet, built, B-I-L-T. It's the brand of the helmet. He's out searching for pets. And then he finds a pet, puts his helmet back on. And he's kind of, can't read this word either. Slowly. Oh, puts his helmet back on very slowly. And just like a little bit of a nice languid of a scene. And then we hear a train whistle in the background. And then the episode opens. Hank's in his new office. He's Pix, Steve, something with Steve. And Walt comes in. Yes. He says, "Hey, Steve, you mind if I see Hank alone?" And Hank's like, "Hey, man, what's up with that watch?" And he goes, "Is that a birthday present?" Walt's like, "Yeah, I mean, I bought it for myself, kind of." Hank's like, "Huh, new car, new watch. Good for you. You know, you deserve a treat with everything." He says, as long as you get the money to spend, you know, the cabin, I'm says, you know, geez. He goes, so what's up with Skylar? And Walt's like, well, she went to work. You know, I got somebody at work keeping an eye on her. He goes, Mariano was that person's name. He goes, yeah, we're going to talk to a shrink, you know, because, you know, Marie loves Dave. They're like, yeah, we found somebody, some dude, Peter, out in Rio Rancho. Top notch. And Hank's like, that's great. You know, don't want something to fester. And then he's like, thanks for watching the kids. He's like, don't worry, you know, great kids. We got to take care of you. And then Walt says, well, I guess something. Is there something else or something? Walt gets very emotional. And he says, Skylar says, I'm a bad influence, bad dad. And Hank's a very good. He's a great listener. He says, I'm sorry. You know, I know you have your issues, but he goes, I'm not a parenting expert, but, you know, I don't see that. So he goes, you know, and you've been through a lot. That's an inspiration to me. He goes, we've all made mistakes. Walt says, you know, I made mistakes. Walt gets really upset. So Hank's like, let me get you some coffee. It's funny because, like, if you watch this scene, Walt actually kind of being honest, but also, you're like, is he being honest or manipulative? And then Walt plants the bugs Hank's office and his computer. And then Hank comes back and he says, it's always darkest before the dawn. Foreshadowing. I think he means it could get darker before the dawn. Then we have Lydia. She's meeting with Mike, Walt, and Jesse. And they're still trying to figure out if Lydia planted that thing on the methylamine barrel. So Mike's like, here's your script. Study it. In 30 seconds, I'm going to call. Mike's all business in this one. He goes, you're going to call Hank and you're going to talk to him. And you're going to, you know, you're going to do your best job, period. End of story. I'm expecting precision here. And he says, okay, Lydia, if you ever need to give the performance of a lifetime, it's now. And Lydia's good. She says, Lydia Rodart Quayle calling for Agent Schrader. And she goes, hey, I found this device on the methylamine. It's weird. Some sort of something. She goes, should I leave it there or what should I do? And Hank's like, good question. Let me get back to you. And then we notice they have the office tapped. So they say, you know, then Gomez goes into the office and then Hank says, hey, Steve, we got a bug there. And they go, no. And Lydia's like, well, I didn't plan it. And then they're like, Jesus, what are we going to do? And then they're like, well, the warehouse is out, you know. Because Hank's going to go look after it. And, you know, he goes, we're toast. And then Walt's like, well, let's keep listening. Or maybe Mike says that. So we can, maybe we'll go there and get the barrels first. And Walt's like, well, that's not really going to solve anything. And then Lydia's like, geez. And they're like, well, should we believe her? Should we do? And Walt's like, no. Then Hank's like, hey, call Houston office. And they say, hey, did you put something on a barrel of methylamine? And the other office is like, yeah. And they're like, well, why didn't you put it on the inside? And they're like, well, it was on the bottom. And they're like, ugh. And then they're like, so then they got off the phone. They're like, man, like, what are we going to do now? And they're going back and forth talking about, it's around 16 minutes and, finally, Lydia said, she says, I can help you, but she said, who said anything about barrels? I'm talking about oceans of this stuff. And all three of them give her this awesome look at, it's 16 minutes. And then Mike and Jesse are alone, and Jesse's like, trust him, you know, about Walt and Lydia are, having a meeting. And Walt's sitting cross-legged. He promises Lydia that she can trust him. And Walt's really good in the scene. Because Walt goes, he goes, she's like, she wants all these promises. And Walt, she says, how can I trust you? And Walt says, look, you're a smart person. You understand the concept of leverage. And she goes, blah, blah, blah. Walt goes, you have none. Ian totally freezes her out. And then he's like, well, you know, you got to earn our trust. But then Walt gets the information about Mike and his guys from her that he didn't know. And she even compliments him. Oh, maybe you're the master chemist everybody's talking about. Then they make a plan. They're like, okay, 24,000 gallons every Wednesday on this freight train coming from China. You know, it stops at this rail house, goes through this dead zone where you could, in McKinley County, where you could take the methylamine off. And Mike's like, you can't just take stuff off a train. And they're like, we'll figure out a way to do it. You know, it's out there in the dead, you know, there's no cell phone service, no nothing out there. And even Lydia's like, I expect to be paid, you know. And then we have Hank and Marie and the baby saying to the baby, can you say ASAC, ASAC? You know, there's a purple shag rug in there, purple zebra print on the chairs. And they're talking about the baby and Junior. And Junior, like Emo McGee, they call him. And Junior's, he's freezing them out. And then we have Mike, Walt, and Hank trying to come up with a plan to get this stuff off the train. Mike doesn't want to do it. They're weighing the pros and the cons. And then Walt's like, what about these guys? And Mike's like, you broke it, you pay for it. And then it was very classical. Like, while both daddies are arguing, Jesse's sitting there in the background trying to figure stuff out. And he's like slowly playing with his straw there. And why'd he put D in question marks? I don't know. Or quotations. But Jesse says, you know, what if we could take everything off the train without getting in any trouble? And Mike and Walt just look at Jesse like, wow. Like, with a wow look. Then we have Walt dressed as Heisenberg. He's looking around. And he's like, maybe, just maybe. And they're measuring and it's perfect. They're bearing water tanks. They're filling water tanks. One with water. They're talking to Todd. They kind of go over the top with their bragging. You know, because they're talking about how Jesse figured it all out and the weight of water and how to be watered down so they'll never know. And once they figure it out, they'll just think they got shorted. And Walt's like, just like it is that now, they're like, well, they just blame China for that. And this is like a curse, actually. And it ends up, Todd's like, you guys thought of everything. And there's just great pleased looks on Walt and Jesse's faces. Then we have Walt going to the house, and Flynn won't open the door for Skyler. And Walt tries. She's like, Flynn, open the door. Come on, talk to me. He's like, I'm staying. And Walt's like, what's going on? Skyler's like, well, you got what you wanted. And then Walt's like, and this was like reminded me of being, I think I've said this, this was like a parenting, archetypal parenting moment. First he says, I'm not going to ask twice. I don't know, I haven't said that too many times, but he goes, what? And then Junior's like, am I not allowed to be in my own house? And they're like, we love you. This is for you. And he goes, I want this to be explained to me. And they're like, well I'm not going to explain to you. I'm your father, you know. And then this one I use, I say this all the time, there's not going to be a debate. I say it when I'm working with kids and to my own kid. This isn't a debate. So Walt says that this is not going to be a debate. And Junior's like, I want a good reason. They're like, we're your parents. There's your reason. Now be quiet. Do as I ask. And we have Walt and Skyler. This was a classic scene. And Skylar says, I'm not going to change my mind about you, Walt, ever. And Walt's like, well, I don't accept that. He goes, you're my wife. She goes, yeah, right. And she goes, if I'm stuck here with you, you know, I got to take care of your money and your secrets and stuff. But the kids are staying with Hank and Marie. Walt's like, do you know I'm Heisenberg? This is totally, he goes, she goes, you're always bragging on that. It's like, it's a good thing. And this is good because she's like making a deal with him and she's like telling, she's being the truth teller. And she goes, there's nothing you're going to convince me of. She goes, but if you can agree that children, you know, stay with Hank and Marie, I'll do, you know, I'll be whatever business partner you want me to be. And then Walt says, by the way, you're visiting with Peter, made up last name from Rio Rancho. And then she sees Walt's dress, like, is how dirty. She says, what are you doing? She's like, what have you been doing out there? Walt's like, catching trains. Also, when she said she made him the deal, Walt was, like, speechless for a few minutes, kind of, like, looking around. And then they say that. And then Skylar has, like, a thoughtful smoke at the end of the scene. And then we're at Lydia's, like, ultra-modern luxury house. Luxury on a laptop, that's what I put. And she calls Mike. It's late at night. She says, you know, we're on. And we see Walt's back. And then Jesse's like, okay, Mr. White, everything is set. And everything goes into plan. Bill Burr is excellent in this scene. He's driving a dump truck. And there's a lot of shots of the train. And the train stops to talk to Bill Burr. Jesse, Walt, and Todd are under a trestle. Bill Burr has a couple of good engineering jokes. He says, geez, I don't know. He goes, do you guys know anything about engines? Of course you do. That's why they call you an engineer. I think he hit one other one, too, but I can't remember what it was. Then the methylamine starts to flow, but of course Walt wants to stay too long. And someone comes and helps get Bill Burr out of the way. And Walt's like pushing and pushing and pushing, almost too long. They just barely get away with the heist. And Walt's laughing. And Jesse and everybody's so happy. But it's like, oh, wait a second. This isn't the, you know, you can't just steal methylamine from a train. So, you know, and then the episode comes to a close.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my four-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.